Exodus chapter 5, and we'll read from verse 1. And afterward Moses and Aaron went in and told Pharaoh, "Thus saith the Lord God of Israel, let my people go, that they may hold a feast unto me in the wilderness." And Pharaoh said, "Who is the Lord, that I should obey his voice to let Israel go? I know not the Lord, neither will I let Israel go." And they said, "The God of the Hebrews hath met with us. Let us go, we pray thee, 3 days' journey into the desert, and sacrifice unto the Lord our God, lest he fall upon us with pestilence or with the sword." And the king of Egypt said unto them, "Wherefore do ye, Moses and Aaron, let the people from their works? Get you unto your burdens." And Pharaoh said, "Behold, the people of the land now are many, and ye make them rest from their burdens." And Pharaoh commanded the same day the taskmasters of the people and their officers, saying, "Ye shall no more give the people straw to make brick as heretofore. Let them go and gather straw for themselves. And the tale of the bricks which they did make heretofore, ye shall lay upon them. Ye shall not diminish aught thereof, for they be idle. Therefore they cry, saying, let us go and sacrifice to our God. Let their more work be laid upon the men, that they may labour therein, and let them not regard vain words." And the taskmasters of the people went out, and their officers, and they spake to the people, saying, "Thus saith Pharaoh, I will not give you straw. Go ye, get you straw where ye can find it, yet not aught of your work shall be diminished." So the people were scattered abroad throughout all the land of Egypt to gather stubble instead of straw. And the taskmasters hasted them, saying, "Fulfill your works, your daily tasks, as when there was straw." And the officers of the children of Israel, which Pharaoh's taskmasters had set over them, were beaten, and demanded, "Wherefore have ye not fulfilled your task in making brick, both yesterday and today, as heretofore?" Then the officers of the children of Israel came and cried unto Pharaoh, saying, "Wherefore dealest thou thus with thy servants? There is no straw given unto thy servants. And they say to us, make brick, and behold, thy servants are beaten. But the fault is in thine own people." But he said, "Ye are idle, ye are idle. Therefore ye say, let us go and do sacrifice to the Lord. Go therefore now and work, for there shall no straw be given you. Yet ye shall deliver the tale of the bricks." And the officers of the children of Israel did see that they were in evil case, after it was said, "Ye shall not diminish aught from your bricks of your daily task." And they met Moses and Aaron, who stood in the way, as they came forth from Pharaoh. And they said unto them, "The Lord look upon you and judge, because ye have made our savour to be abhorred in the eyes of Pharaoh and in the eyes of his servants, to put a sword in their hand to slay us." And Moses returned unto the Lord and said, "Lord, wherefore hast thou so evil entreated this people? Why is it that thou hast sent me? For since I came to Pharaoh to speak in thy name, he hath done evil to this people, neither hast thou delivered thy people at all." Amen. May the Lord bless to us this reading from his word. It was now time for Moses and Aaron to go into the presence of Pharaoh and carry with them the message of the Lord. And this was the message: "Thus saith the Lord God of Israel, let my people go." This phrase, "thus saith the Lord," was to be a message repeated many times to Pharaoh in the coming weeks and months. And it is often indeed connected with "let my people go." But Pharaoh had no intention of letting Israel go. Not to worship God, even for 3 days in the wilderness. And in this chapter, we see both the pride and the brutality of Pharaoh as he intensifies the workload of the children of Israel and aggravates their suffering. And he hardens his attitude also against Moses, God's representative. The request that was made for 3 days' travel into the wilderness to sacrifice was made to show that Pharaoh was not willing to consider even a small request as being of good for this people. The people of Israel were prohibited from doing what was a reasonable thing, a small thing, in order to reveal that there was no likelihood or possibility of them obtaining complete release from the land of Egypt, where they had now become a nation of captives and a nation of slaves, who were for the labour that they gave of value to the Egyptians. They were the brickmakers for the cities that the Egyptians were building. So that Pharaoh's response to Moses, that he did not know the name of the Lord and felt under no obligation to obey him, was his settled view. And it was probably true what he said. But here we see a proud attitude in Pharaoh, as if this man's knowledge and his will was the standard by which God was to be judged, God was to be heard, and God was to be obeyed. Well, I don't know that God. And of course, that continues to be expressed in much the same way today. People say, "I don't know your God, and I don't care to know your God, and I'm certainly not going to do what your God says." And Pharaoh's next response to Moses' request was to intensify the suffering of the children of Israel. And he did that by stopping all the supplies of straw for the manufacture of bricks. It appears from the account that this had previously been supplied by the Egyptians to the children of Israel at their brick kilns, or the means by which they made these brick. But in future, Pharaoh says, the children of Israel would be expected to gather their own straw. But there wouldn't be any reduction in the quantity of bricks that were required of them. And this, Pharaoh hoped, would stop them from asking to go and worship their God. He would make them so busy, he would make them so oppressed, that they wouldn't think about these other things. And the leaders of the children of Israel, and Moses himself, seems to be surprised at Pharaoh's reaction. And we find that Moses questions God's purpose and why there was yet no deliverance. Only more pain. So there's a couple of lessons that we can draw from this, and I would like to just leave with you. And the first one is this, that despite being told by God that Pharaoh's heart would be hardened and that God would perform mighty works on Pharaoh, we notice in this chapter that Moses seems to be hurt, personally offended, that Pharaoh did not at once agree to let the people go. And it's not really very clear as to why that should be. Perhaps it was the sharp words of criticism that were spoken to Moses by the leaders of the children of Israel. Or perhaps it was the evident increase in the hurt and the suffering of the people that Moses observed. But here the man of God seems to be confused and he seems to be perplexed that the Lord did not begin this process of bringing out the people from the land immediately. And we've mentioned this before, I think. It is our responsibility, indeed it is our privilege, to take our troubles to the Lord. But it is not wise for us to specify the means or the methods or even the timing by which the Lord will fix our problems. Because the Lord sees a bigger picture. And the Lord saw a bigger picture here in Egypt. What was happening was a much bigger work than Moses could see at that moment, even although he knew a lot about God and about God's purpose. God told Moses much about what he was going to do, and yet Moses still struggled to understand. There was to be a step-by-step procedure gone through. And this was just the beginning. So that when we take our requests to the Lord, or when we're waiting on the Lord to do something to help us, we have to learn to be patient and we have to learn to wait to see the bigger picture. Because only then will the wisdom of God be revealed. And the Lord calls on us to exercise faith and trust and patience when we go to him with our problems and we go to him with our prayers. And here's the second thing to learn. Moses took his unease, he took his complaint back to the Lord. But I wonder if you noticed with me that there was a sharpness in the words, as though Moses was upset with God. Why have you not done what you said you would do? And there's even a sense in what Moses says of him reverting back, going back to that initial reluctance that he felt about this whole plan, because God wasn't acting quickly enough. And the lesson here is that while it is right to take our burdens and our concerns to the Lord, we must not blame God when things don't fit our plans or our timescales. It's interesting that God doesn't rebuke Moses for his sharpness, which perhaps shows the gentleness and the goodness of God as a patient father. But it is still clear that Moses has much to learn at the hand of God. And here's an interesting thought. Would we look differently on our trials if we saw those trials to be God's teachers rather than simply our problems? That God uses our trials to teach us, not simply that they cause us problems. Here's the third thing that I want to leave with you, and then we will be done. Moses and Aaron, as well as all the children of Israel, and indeed all the nations round about, because we are going to discover that all the nations round about were watching what was happening in Egypt at this time. Moses, Aaron, the children of Israel, and all the nations around about were going to be amazed onlookers as the heavy hand of God fell upon Egypt and fell upon Pharaoh. Because that was God's will. If Pharaoh had just said to Moses, "Sure thing, no problem. Go ahead. Anytime you want to go out of the country, you can just do that. Stay away as long as you like. You know, God could have softened Pharaoh's heart so that that was exactly the attitude that he took. And he let the children of Israel go without any trouble, without any problem. And thought, let's be rid of them. It's good to be rid of them. After all, remember that they had been fearful of the children of Israel many years before because of their increase in number. But now they had brought them into servitude. Now they had provoked the Lord by the way in which they had treated his people. Pharaoh's heart would not be softened, but it would be hardened. If Pharaoh had let the children of Israel go, there would have been no evidence of God's love for his people. There would have been no evidence of God's covenant faithfulness to Abraham and Isaac and Jacob. There would have been no evident deliverance. There would have been no punishment for the sins that had been committed against the children of Israel and against their God. There would be no retribution for the hundreds of years of wicked oppression that had been placed upon these people, and the countless mothers' tears as their babies had been ripped from their arms and thrown into the river. And there would have been no demonstration of justice. And there would have been no glory for God. There would only have been glory for men. And ironically, it might even have been for Pharaoh. Look how merciful he was. Look how generous he was. Well, that would not do. God will not allow evil to go unpunished, and he will not allow men and women to take his glory. This whole exercise of the deliverance of the children of Israel would take time, and it would reveal God's power. It would bring destruction on Pharaoh and on Egypt, and it would be remembered by Israel and by God's church and people as an example of God's saving power for the rest of time. The Jewish people still celebrate this event as part of their history. And the Passover lamb would provide the Church of Jesus Christ with one of the clearest pictures of their Saviour and of his accomplishments. Our own salvation and our deliverance from the captivity of sin is pictured here in this work of deliverance. And it wasn't going to be an easy work. It would not be achieved by the will or the wisdom of men and women. It would be the sovereign work of God. And the glorious sacrifice of the Lord Jesus Christ is God's sovereign work to bring our deliverance. If it was easy for a person to be saved, or if we could save ourselves, we would claim the glory. So that won't happen. God will have all the glory for our salvation, and we shall see how great a task our deliverance was, how hard it was to be obtained, and where all the glory lies for it. May the Lord bless these thoughts to our heart.